From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Tonight, open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? And number two, why sittest thou thyself alone? And all the people stand by thee from the morning unto evening." And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God, when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, I'll give thee counsel, and God will be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and thou shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over tens. Let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all those people also shall go to their place in peace." So Moses hearkened to the voice of the father-in-law and did all that he said. I'm going to ask Brother Tony Powell to lead us in prayer this evening. As we look at this passage, you got to remember that the children of Israel are coming out of slavery. That's all they knew. They simply followed orders their entire lives. And now as they go into the wilderness, they need a lot of help. And when you're directing, you know, you hear preachers talk about 1 million, 2 million people. I think the count is probably nearer to 3 million when you consider they had 600,000 foot soldiers. So it was a very large group. But the bottom line was, Moses was at a point in his life where his responsibilities were increasing. His life was growing more complicated. How many of you have come to the realization the older you get, the more complicated life seems to get? And you thought things would be easier, and you thought you'd be able to put things in order, but family matters get a little more complicated, and work matters get more complicated, financial matters, and ministry, and as things grow and progress, there's additional responsibilities. And God's given you a great work. Most of you are leading or have leadership positions on various levels. And that kind of work is demanding. Rearing children is demanding. Running a ministry is demanding. This is why it's so important for us to learn to operate and function every day in God's grace. Because if we don't, we're quickly going to become stressed. And when we stress others out. We get frustrated, we frustrate others. And we become angry, we anger others. And Moses is learning to live every day in the grace of God or lose his mind, one of the two. And as he's sitting there, I can imagine his father-in-law shows up, and here's this endless line of people just waiting to talk to Moses. And he sees this, and he asks him two questions, verse 14. What is this thing that thou doest? And I think, you know, you can read books and listen to commentators, and everyone has a different opinion. And I've heard this chapter preached on a dozen different ways, and he was wrong to listen to his father-in-law. And he was, listen, if you're leading several million Jews through a wilderness, if you're trying to do this all alone, at some point really soon, you're going to collapse under the weight of this responsibility. And I simply tonight want to talk about two things. There's God called leadership, and there's leader-appointed leadership. When God calls a leader, he equips that leader to appoint leaders, and that's our job. I know people don't always like that. You know, even in a family setting, the siblings don't like who's appointed to do certain jobs and who's not appointed, and there's a little rivalry there. And I think I was a better pick, a better fit, and I think I should have been able to do that. So no matter if that's a job setting or a family setting or a church setting or a ministry setting, the God-called leader, that God-called position, if you are the father, you are God-called, you are God-appointed to be in that position, and then you have to pick leadership on a daily basis to make that house function. Mom, you've got to do the same thing. And as a God-called leader of this church, there's no way for me, and I've watched pastors do that. A temptation, you know, if you have a small congregation of 50 or 60, I had to do that when I first started our works in Argentina and then in Mexico. When you're the only one there, you got to be the song leader. You're talking about 10 different hats per service because you greet people at the door, you set up, clean up the auditorium, you lead the music, you play the guitar, my wife played the piano, we provide special music, then we preach, pick up the offering, and ushered everyone out the door, then ran in the junior church. Boy, it was a nice day when you'd start passing off those responsibilities and delegating that work to someone else. But we all know it doesn't take long once there's any kind of growth. Mothers, it's very easy. Normally, take care of a house, just you and your husband, and you can keep that husband tidy. Not a big deal, but you have 4 or 5 kids and the laundry alone. Big headache. And if you don't learn to delegate and designate, later, yeah, you are the God-called leader, but if you don't train leadership, you're going to quickly find yourself in trouble. So in your God-appointed position, we got to do a little self-examination. The first two questions we have to ask ourselves are these questions that Moses was asked by his father-in-law. What is the thing that thou doest? How many of you started learning later in life? I've got to evaluate my priorities and establish here I'm wasting time on some things that I can delegate to others, and I'm starting to not even be able to fulfill my purpose. I know mothers a lot of times, they get so busy doing laundry and trying to keep the house clean and wash the dishes. Next thing you know, they're not properly investing in the instruction of their children. They've got to ask themselves, what is this thing that thou doest? Am I getting sidetracked with all the other responsibilities? And the next question is, why are you doing it alone? How many of you ever got really busy and then you realize, I put too much on my shoulders? I'm trying to do this alone, and I got 5 kids in this house that God has given me, 5 little gifts that can vacuum the floor and wash the dishes. We just don't always enjoy the training process, but boy, there's such value in that. And the earlier the instruction, the lengthier the reward. Boy, if you would teach those kids to do laundry till they're 17 or 18, not much reward in that. You say, well, they may destroy a few clothes. They certainly will. Well, they won't do things properly. They're going to get water all over the sink. We understand all those things, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But we've got to really do some self-evaluation on a regular basis, be honest with ourselves, and say, because here's Moses, the long line, and he's saying to himself, God's called me. And I know somebody's going to say, well, he listened to the wrong man. Trust me on this one. God can use anyone in your life to turn on a light in your brain and say, I'm wasting energy on something I shouldn't be wasting energy on. Amen. And he said, you're not just wearing yourself out, you're wearing these people out because you have them standing in line all day long in the hot sun waiting. And then some of them, they go to bed at night and they didn't get a chance to talk to you. There has to be a simpler system here. There has to be a way to delegate some of this responsibility, Moses. And so he gets his ear, gives him a quick explanation. And here's what I think, too. In this instruction, there are a lot of times we receive instruction. I've been to conferences and leadership conferences. I've read books. That doesn't mean that everything that's taught to us is applicable for our situation. I've been to conferences, leadership conferences, where the church ran 5,000 or 6,000 people, and they're giving us ideas that would work great if you had a congregation of 5,000 or 6,000 people, but it doesn't work when you're pastoring 350. We don't have the building. We don't have the space. We go to those conferences and they tell us about all the benefits of Sunday school. Well, you can do that if you have space for Sunday school. And he's simply throwing out some ideas saying, Moses, I want to help you out, Because look what the next verse says, or look what verse 18 says. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people. You know what happens in life? If we don't learn to self-evaluate and say, okay, what am I doing? Why am I doing this alone? We begin to take on every month, every year is an additional responsibility. And sooner or later, it becomes too much. Emotional, physical, financial. It just becomes too much to carry alone. And someone is wearing away. I do want to preface this by saying, yes, he was the God-appointed leader. He needed to stay in his leadership role. He was not stepping out of his leadership role. He wasn't avoiding his God-given responsibilities. And leaders, you've got to learn. You've got to step up and lead. Whether people want you to lead them or not, God has put you in that home to lead. God has put you in that ministry to lead. God has put me in this church to lead. And yes, leadership is going to make you a lightning rod. And yes, there'll be criticism. And yes, there will be attacks. And it's easier if you're God called. Now, for a lot of you, when I came here, I waited a little while, and then I said, okay, we're going to shift people around. We're going to put this person in a junior church. I mean, Brother Jimmy. And some people question that. Hey, mate, Jimmy, totally in charge of junior church. Yes, he's the man for the job. How many of you have come to realize he is the man for the job? Now, everybody didn't realize that back then, but we realized he's a worthy investment. And he had the character and the integrity, the piety, and the godliness to do that in the vision. He was going to have to grow in that position. The problem is this. I'm the God-called leader. He is the man-appointed leader. And it's easier to say, because I'm God-called, I can take the attacks and criticism. But when you're man-appointed, those attacks and criticism are a little more personal. Well, Pastor put me here. Pastor told me to do this. Why am I the one facing all the criticism? Why is that person angry? You know, you as a teacher, I'm going to volunteer my time. And I'm going to do this without a salary. And I'm going to be here every day. And then someone's angry at you for the sacrifice that you're making because you're imperfect. And you say, I know I'm imperfect, but I'm still a volunteer and I'm the only one here. So you might want to get happy on some level with me. So it's just a lot easier for that God-called leader to have tougher skin. I think that comes with the calling. But when you're a leader appointed leader, that's a totally different set of circumstances. And as a parent, as a father, as a pastor, if you're God appointed, you need to step up, man. You need to step up. Be the spiritual leader of that home. Wives, the worst thing you can do for your home is try to be the spiritual leader. Worst thing you can do for your marriage is convince yourself that you are the spiritual leader. Women, the moment you have this amazing revelation that you're the spiritual leader of your home, your whole foundation, your home is cracked. And things are only going to go downhill from here. What if he's not the spiritual leader? Yeah, you need to imagine he's the spiritual leader. You crack his Bible open on that table as if he was the person that cracked it open and was reading it in the morning. You leave a cup of hot coffee there beside his Bible. You put something in your heart and your mind, because as soon as you change roles, that house is a disaster guaranteed. But you need to step up in that leadership role. And he was not avoiding his leadership role by appointing men. Anytime a work grows, and can you imagine if a church ran 1.5 million people, how many assistants that church would need? I thank God. We have Pastor Robert helping with the Bible college. I thank God Pastor Bob's in charge of the school. And I thank God for Brother Sam helping in the Spanish church. I thank God for Pastor. There's no way I could run the youth. I thank God that I can help in those areas and guide and make a few decisions. And ultimately, you know what the God called leader is? He's the decision maker. Here's what people don't like about leadership. They have to be the decision. Ladies, that man has to be the ultimate decision maker. You can voice opinion. You can try to guide and direct. You can offer your opinion. But at the end of the day, God put that person there. God put that man there. God put that parent there. God put that pastor there to make the decision. And let me just remind all of you that work in ministry as this church, I'm so grateful that your mind and your focus, your concentration is on that ministry, and you love that ministry. And for you, that's the all-important, most important, highest priority ministry of this church. I just can't share your opinion. I have to have a broader picture of all the ministries of the church. And when you have a church this size and this many ministries, and then a Spanish church as well, there's always a conflict of ministries. So at the end of the day, I'm thankful for your ministries, and I'm thankful for your ideas. But at the end of the day, I still have to make a judgment call based on the bigger picture and say, good idea, bad idea, not right now. Somebody has to do that. Makes you a good guy at times, makes you a bad guy at times. But if God's called, you better get tough enough skin to deal with it. Because we see more often than not, Moses was not always loved and cherished because of his decision making. You better be satisfied with the role that God has given you. Stop feeling shortchanged. Whatever God has chosen you to do. I want you to see verse 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide. Now, here's where we get to the importance of delegation. He says, this will help you so you don't wear yourself out and wear the people out. Thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, place such over them to be rulers over thousands, and rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over tens. Now, we know as a leader, there are some jobs that you and you alone should do. There are just some things you should never delegate. There are some things in the junior church you should never delegate. There are some things, Pastor Ben, with the teenagers, should never delegate. There are some things that our cooks in the kitchen should never delegate to our college students. Amen. Have them peel the carrots, cut the potatoes. But more serious jobs, like that tenderloin, how long that is cooked or how long that meat is on the grill, should never be handed to one of our fine, high-IQ'd college students. There are certain responsibilities. Brother Mark back there in the sound room. I thank God for all the help. We got amazing young men around here learning very quickly. But there are just certain things he knows he cannot delegate. So Moses knew there are certain responsibilities I'm going to keep. But those responsibilities, now understand, you have this many people wandering around a wilderness. There's so many things we never think about, preachers never talk about. What about the sewage issue? Okay, you're going to wander around the desert for 40 years? You better get this figured out right away. You're going to run out of places to go. Pastors, avoid these topics. Christians, don't think about them. You know what you got to do? Someone has the delegated responsibility of being the sewage control manager for 40 years. That's not a pleasant title to hold. Have you ever thought about this many people, and God says this generation gonna have to die? You're doing, now all of us have different calculations. I'm calculating about 150 to 200 funerals a day. Who's going to be dealing with all these funerals? And the burial of these bodies as they travel through the wilderness. So, wouldn't you like for the pastor to come to you, and he's God's called man, and now he's got to designate and appoint leadership, and he says to you, Brother Mike, putting you in charge of the, I want to help, I want to work, I know you do, I know you have a willing heart, put you in charge of the sewage waste management. Is this for today or the month? Or no, for life. But preacher, I'm 38. I know. What are you in charge of? Here's a shovel. Brother Tony's going to preach the funerals, and you're going to be the one that digs all the holes, place the body. Rico's going to help you out. How many of you thinking, Pastor? I'm thinking about 150 a day. Better get a good team together. Now, can you imagine if Moses, because this is what that line is about, if Moses had not delegated those responsibilities to different men, and each man saying, listen, if I am an appointed leader, aren't you glad that God doesn't call you into waste management? But guess what? If you have a leader that trusts you enough to say, this for me is a tremendous headache, that would keep me from study and keep me from soul winning and keep me from organizing different things and keep me from preaching and running the institute. I need you to alleviate this burden and make this function, eliminate the headaches and the hassles, deal with the complaints. You know what kind of responsibility is when you take that off a leader's shoulders and mind? You know how nice it is for a leader to sit back and know he's delegated responsibility and he never has to think about it again just because it's so well taken care of. I can't tell you how many times in ministry and half of delegation is not the training of a person, but properly picking the man for the job. Boy, you pick the right person for the job. You'll smile for a long time. You pick the wrong person for the job. You'll be miserable. How many ever picked the wrong person for the job? And you think, boy, I should have just done that myself. This took me twice as long, was twice the headache. What in the world was I thinking? Here's what he did, verse 21. Look how he picked the people. Able men based on ability, those that fear God based on piety, men of truth, integrity. You want to make sure you're picking the right person. Mothers, even in the home. Men, even on the job. Believe it or not, some of you saw this when I came here. My dad was a pastor on a level that I'll never reach, I'll never obtain. Preacher on a different level. But one of the areas that we disagreed on, and I still think I'm right, Dad had the old school mentality of if there's a job to do, you pick the first volunteer, put him in for life. Hey, you're available. You're here. You know what you're doing. Hey, take that ministry over and make it happen. And whether or not it was a fit, they just got in, did it for life. That was just, how many remember that philosophy? Can you lead a song? I guess so. You know anything about music? Not really. Who cares? You're here. You're in charge of the music. That's what he did with Robert. Amen. No. If you don't find the right men, and here's what we've even done at Capital City. When you go into a new ministry, you're there for 30 days on trial. Not because we're concerned about you. If we put you in that position, we're not concerned about you. We're concerned about the fit. Leadership and role players have to be the right fit. Have you ever seen a group form? You know, got four or five singers together, and they try to sing. You realize they just, four good voices, five good voices, they just don't blend. There's just not a fit. You got to make sure not only that men are qualified and that men are godly and the person meets all the qualifications, but they're truly able. Have you ever put your kids in charge of something and then you realize halfway through they weren't able? But it's a whole lot easier to shift a child than it is to shift a co-worker in the church or a co-worker on the job. And here's what he told them to do. In verse 20, thou shalt what? Did you know the biggest part of leadership is training other leaders? Capital City, you ought to constantly be training. If you have people or college students in your class, this is about training them. It's not just about teaching the class, but training those to teach a class and teach a lesson and lead a song and run a bus route, work with youth. Isn't it amazing how ministry we become so territorial? Everyone's a threat to my job. The best leaders are those that are training leaders. He said, you need to take these men and teach them ordinances and laws and show them the way, how they should walk. No, he's talking about the seventh and eighth graders because they don't know how to walk. Teach them how to walk, amen? You know why we're not good at delegating? Because we insist on perfection. Boy, I learned this the hard way, planning churches. Boy, I think about the difference in our first church and our second church and the third church and the fourth church. Now that we've started the Spanish church here, boy, things have gotten a whole lot easier because you're learning from your mistake. You better learn from your mistakes. One of the best things I've learned in ministry is delegate. Stop expecting perfection because you're never going to hand a duty off if you're insisting on, I'm the only one that can do this right, so I'm going to have to do this for the rest of my life. You better accept some imperfections. Yes, sir. And guess what? It's amazing how when you begin to delegate, you realize there are a lot of people with a lot of good ideas. Sometimes those people have a whole lot better ideas than you had. Sometimes those people can do a whole lot better than what you are doing at what you are doing. How I would limit both this church and our Spanish church, Vida Abundante, if I wasn't willing to delegate. And we have Brother Mateo occasionally leading the song. Is he Brother Sam? No. We have Brother Jonathan learning Spanish, leading some song. Is he Brother Sam? No, he's certainly not. But guess what? He's going to grow into a dynamic song leader when you allow him to make mistakes and grow into that job. But isn't it amazing how we want everyone to start out perfect? And I guarantee you, Moses, initially, this idea sounded like a good one, but it caused a whole lot more headaches than it helped solve initially, because he has to set up and he has to train these men and he has to make sure they're thinking like he does. They share his philosophy. They're giving the right instruction. You have to learn to trust people. And especially when you're dealing with your main replacement, you see in chapter 24, verse 13, it's already talking about Moses' minister, Joshua. In everything you do, whether that's your job, your ministry, you ought to be already investing in people around you, knowing I'm not going to be here for another 40 years. And you don't train a replacement overnight. This is why we watch churches of thousands of people disintegrate, because there was no replacement trained. There's no replacement that can be trained in 6 months or a year or two years. This is a long, a lengthy, tedious, difficult process. Thankfully, Moses had started this and invested almost 40 years in this young man. So when he passed off the scene, Joshua was ready to roll. And I want you to see the last thing, we're done. Let's talk about the organization of all this, proper organization. Any area that you run, whether that's home or ministry, whatever you're doing, it should run efficiently and smoothly. Teachers, you should never get in the habit of allowing chaos in a classroom or in a Sunday school or in a junior club class or in a teen activity. In your home, no matter where you're at, you should never allow chaos. Now, we're not talking about a pillow fight or water balloon fight, a little mud going through the door. That's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about, I've been places before. I remember when I was at Windsor Hills and they had the 4 or 5 year old church, and the first Sunday I was there, 250 4 and 5 year olds that had been out of control for a long time, over the top of the pew, under the bottom pew. I'd never thought about suicide in my life until that day. That position had become chaotic because the previous leadership had allowed chaos and disorganization. And here's what we have to do. We've got to analyze our organization on a regular basis and constantly update it, because just because it's organized today doesn't mean with growth tomorrow it's going to stay organized. We had buses. We're constantly, because of our parking, because of our classroom situation, because of all the ministries, we're constantly having to update our organization. But how many of you realize, and even in your house, it has to be that, where the next thing you know, you got dishes where they don't belong, stuff in the back of the fridge that's grown mushrooms that are a foot tall. You can't find a matching sock. You got 3 irons and none of them work. This world goes from organization to disorganization overnight. And here's what most are doing. When you're dealing with this many people, if you're not every day saying, okay, what do I need to do to make sure that this is efficiently run and organized? Ministry, wherever you're at, leaders, you've got to say, this is my job to evaluate and assess where this is at and make sure, because I'm the one that's in charge of making sure this is running properly. Moses, if you're wearing them out, you're wearing yourself out, and there's a line in the hot sun of thousands of people. I know, Phillips will tell you. Bad move, he listened to his father-in-law. I'm telling you, Moses would have been dead at 83, sitting in that sun and dealing with that line. So if we're going to get through what we're going through, which is ever-increasing responsibilities, we need to say, like Moses, I need to humble myself. And if I'm God's appointed man for this job, I need to make sure I'm choosing the right people to help me and delegate my responsibility in things I don't need to be doing. And mothers, that's with your children. How many mothers in here say, there's moments I've realized I waited too long to delegate that responsibility? How many mothers ironed your children's shirt until they were 14, 15, 16, made their bed after they were 8 years old? It's time to delegate. Sunday school teachers, if you're doing something and it's wearing you out, you got to reassess and delegate, because I promise you God's put enough people around you to facilitate you keeping your hair aging less over time, because doctors are still botching plastic surgery. Don't put yourself in that situation.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.